The Asian longhorn beetle scare came to Boston back in July when six infested trees were discovered on the grounds of Faulkner Hospital. That discovery had the makings of a nightmare scenario. A 1.5-mile radius of concern now surrounds that site. No further infestations have been found, but as Radio Boston's Adam Ragusier reports, that doesn't mean officials can stop looking.
You'd be amazed how hard it is to look for something that probably isn't there. Such is the challenge faced by this woman.
My name is Jennifer Foreman Orth. I work for the Massachusetts Department of Agricultural Resources.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for coming out today.
Jen is one of two people the state employs full-time right now to train the public on how to spot signs of the Asian longhorn beetle. This morning, she's at the site of the former Pine Bank estate on Jamaica Pond, where the Emerald Necklace Conservancy has mobilized about a dozen volunteers to look for traces of the little buggers.
All right, so what you guys are going to get right now is a quick and dirty training session.
The beetle is active from July to the first frost, but even if it were here, it's unlikely anyone would see it. Rather, chances are better of seeing the damage it does to the trees.
So that's what we're really going to be looking for today. There are two different things that you can keep your eyes out for. The first are the exit holes that the beetles make when they leave the tree, and the second are the egg-laying sites that the females make when they're depositing eggs on the bark of the tree. So this is an actual piece of wood from the infested area in Worcester.
She passes the log around, and I gotta say, I have trouble distinguishing the egg-laying sites from any of the other little rough patches on the bark. What is plain as day, however, are the exit holes, where the beetles tunnel their way to the light after wreaking havoc on the tree's interior.
Notice these exit holes are really perfectly round, almost as if maybe a machine made them, but it was actually made by beetles.
And if you really, it's weird how perfectly round it is. To my eye, indistinguishable from something made by a drill bit, between the size of a pencil eraser and a dime. That's what we're really going to be looking out for today.
All right, so if this new team leaders could just kind of stand apart and get two to three people per person.
Okay. My group is led by Chris and Ann Lucius, a young husband and wife couple from JP who are bringing some special knowledge today.
Yeah, we're both landscape architects.
Oh, you are? Oh, great. Yeah.
I guess they feel like they owe one to the trees. We head off and spot our first specimen.
This is a maple here.
A big one, the beetle's favorite target. Tall as two houses, its canopy so dense you can barely see the trunk through the leaves. Chris looks like he's been presented with an elaborate dessert and doesn't know where to stick his fork first.
Okay. Wait, so is there like a method, like do we go top to bottom?
We start at the top and then we look down.
Jen recommends spending about 3 to 4 minutes looking at each tree. Chris's wife Anne starts a countdown clock on her iPhone.
Happily, I'm not finding anything.
Although, doesn't a little piece of you wish you would?
Yeah, kind of like that piece of you from elementary school. You want to be the one that finds it? And then when you're faced with the reality of what that means, you're like, oh no. Yeah,
the group moves on to another target, and then another, and then another. But pretty soon, they lose focus. People start chatting and meandering. I mean, imagine being presented with a 10,000-page Where's Waldo book in which Waldo is in no way guaranteed to appear. How long would that hold your attention?
It's reassuring to know that I'm not the only one looking at this tree right now.
This one right here.
There's a sudden burst of intensity when one guy thinks he's spotted something suspicious. Everybody gathers around, struggling for a sight line through the leaves.
It's right up in here. It's a round spot.
The tree in question is an enormous London plane tree on the edge of the former Pine Bank mansion. Pine Bank was a series of three estates built on this spot over the last two centuries. When you look at the old photos, the buildings change from the original wooden Federal-style house to a Gothic stone edifice to the empty foundation that it is today. But this tree is constant in all of them.
See that one little singular circular
thing there? Yeah, that's just the grayness of that same bark.
The consensus is the supposed circle is nothing. Jen comes meandering back around to check on our group.
Any smoking guns yet today?
No.
All in all, a pretty dull morning. It just doesn't feel like we're on the edge of a Worcester-like cataclysm here. And Jen says there's a good reason for that.
Well, the issue in Worcester is that the infestation was there for over a decade before it was discovered, whereas the infestation at Faulkner Hospital was only there for about 2 years before it was found. So in Worcester, you have tens of thousands of trees infested. In Boston, we only have six. So early detection is probably our best weapon at this point.
So, Adam, in your story, you explained that it can be difficult to see the beetle damage on the trees now because the trees are full of leaves.
Sure.
So why doesn't the state just have volunteers go out when it's fall or winter and there are no leaves on the trees?
Indeed, it is easier to spot the signs in the wintertime, but it's also much harder to get a bunch of people to volunteer to spend 2 or 3 hours walking around outside in the winter.
The issue is, are people going to go out there in the freezing cold when there are no leaves?
Exactly. Ah. But, you know, really, these types of events are as much about getting people in the habit of looking as they are about actually looking. This is a threat that's going to be around for decades unless scientists can come up with a better way to control the beetles. So really what people like Jen Foreman-Orth are hoping for is that folks will just learn what to look for and then really adopt an area that they live near or that they visit often where they'll just keep an eye out for years to come.
So then if they see a tree that looks funny, they'll know what they're looking for.
Exactly.
So let's review what people should be looking for. I understand that telltale sign is that circular exit hole.
Exactly. Smaller than a dime, bigger than a pencil, perfectly round. You see that, you got to call the authorities.
All right, now we know what to look for. Thanks, Adam.
You bet.
Tomorrow night, the four candidates for governor will debate again. You can hear the debate live on WBUR. It's a one-hour debate that begins at 7 o'clock. And join me after that for WBUR's debate coverage and for live analysis with the Boston Globe's Peter Kanellis and Tufts University's Jeff Ferry. That's tomorrow night live from 7 to 8 p.m. If you've got something to say, you can post a comment on our website at wbur.org/Boston. You can also call us at 617-353-1137. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.